This is The Difference, a podcast for nonprofit fundraising in a for-profit world, presented by Convergent Nonprofit Solutions, a leader in nonprofit fundraising. Convergent's professionals can help your nonprofit secure sustainable funding now and for the future.
Welcome to The Difference. I'm Jay Wirth. Mark C. Perna is our guest. He's the founder and CEO of TFS Results in Cleveland, Ohio. It's a full-service strategic consulting firm at the forefront of the national paradigm shift in education and workforce development. He's founder of a movement entitled Education with Purpose and Employment with Passion. Mark's mission is to connect the pipelines between education, employment, and economic development in communities everywhere. Welcome, Mark. Good to have you here.
Jay, it's an honor to be with you.
All right. So we're talking about workforce, and that's something that Convergent is very involved with when we raise money for economic development organizations or chambers of commerce in particular. All of our clients are concerned about workforce, the shortage of workforce, qualified workers. And there are various generations in all of this, from the baby boomers, who what I would say would comprise many of our listeners. And then there's what follows is the what I would call the alphabet soup of generations, the X, the Y, the Z, and then coming up, Alpha. Give us just a brief description of the generations, if you would, just to set the table for us.
You know, I'd love to set the table, but I'm a generational expert is my resting pulse. I'm an education expert, workforce development expert, working towards becoming an expert in economic development because I spend a lot of my time trying to connect all these pipelines that you mentioned, Jay. But as a generational expert, I don't spend nearly as much time anymore talking about any generation but Gen Z, and I'll tell you why. I call Generation Z the benchmark generation, and I call them that because, I used to walk into organizations all the time. I'm in an older generation like yourself, and, I used to walk into and say, like, here's what boomers think, and here's what Xers think, and here's what Generation Y millennials think, and now here's what Gen Z thinks, and I really spend no time doing that because if you know what Generation Z, 8 to 27 years old, if you know what they think, what makes them tick and how they make decisions, I call them the benchmark generation because the things they truly want work for every other generation. And I've done that at HR conferences. I've talked about this in economic development circles, that if you truly get a chance to know what do they think, what makes them tick and how they make decisions and recognize that they are very different than we think they are. We think they're different. I mean, we say, hey, these kids are really different, but they really are not. That's not a bad thing. You know, I have a very different view of young people in America today. I have a very positive view. Most people think they're lazy and they're entitled, and they can certainly appear those things. But the truth of the matter is, I think they're the most extraordinary generations to come down the pike, right? I think they are the most intelligent, resourceful, and pit bull-like generations that we've ever seen in this country. When they see a want-to in their life, something they truly want, they will move heaven and earth to get to that want-to. Our challenge as parents, educators, and employers is getting them to want something. And so if you recognize how extraordinary they are, and you can connect the dots with a vision and a mission and the way you can build a human connection with them and understand how to leverage the best of what they are, you can completely unleash their passion, purpose, and performance for the things you want them to do. And that's in the classroom, that's in employment, and that's even in our homes as parents.
What do they want? You made that reference.
Well, what they're looking for is they're looking for a work-life blend, right? They're looking for flexibility. They're looking for the way to have the lifestyle experiences that they want to be able to have. You know, I tell employers, educators, and parents all the time, you know, if you look at a young person in your sphere of influence and your thought process leads you down this path, wow, they are really wasting their time. Look at them. They're wasting their time. I'm here to say that Generation Z never wastes their time. They don't spend 1 minute wasting their time. At any given moment, they're doing exactly what they want to do, exactly the way they want to do it, and they're going to do it for exactly how long they want to do it. That's not wasting your time. Now, they may not be doing what you want them to do, Jay, right? Or what Mark wants them to do, but they're doing exactly what they want to do, and they're comfortable to do that. the delta between what they're doing and what you want them to do as a parent, educator, and employer, the delta between that is the compelling reason why they should do it. They don't understand it. They haven't been they haven't gotten a compelling answer to their question. Well, like, why do I need to do this? Like, how am I going to use this? When is this going to be relevant in my life? We have not, if we have not answered that question, they'll continue to do what they've always done. And we look at that and we go, well, they're lazy and they're entitled. No, they're just not compelled yet to action. And so understanding the power of building that compelling answer, that has to come from the parent, from the educator, and the employer. And if you're not answering that question, the issue may not be with them. It may be with us and how we are bringing that compelling reason forward.
And how do you best research or find the answers to the questions that that generation is asking?
Really understanding, kind of going back again to what they think. You know, I talk about a concept called the light at the end of the tunnel all the time. And I speak about this with young people, but I speak about it with parents, educators, and employers. Is the light at the end of the tunnel is a simple concept, but it's what does their lifestyle and career look like at the light at the end of their tunnel, right? The tunnel is the work, the labor, the effort, the skill development, the academic rigor. It's everything that's necessary for them to feel comfortable taking a step and then taking another step and another step towards whatever is viable in their light at the end of the tunnel. But here's the thing, lifestyle and career. Which one of those, Jay, is most important to young people today? Lifestyle or career?
I'm going to guess lifestyle.
Right. But what do we spend all our time talking to them about?
Career.
That's the aha moment. Recognizing that lifestyle, every decision a young person in America makes today is based on how it affects their lifestyle. Career has become a lifestyle decision. So if you want to have any substantive career conversation with someone in your sphere of influence, home, classroom, or place of business, don't start with career. Start with lifestyle. Recognizing that what they view their lifestyle to be, right? No matter how grand, modest, or laid back their lifestyle is, that is going to build relevance to a career conversation and where that young person goes. And so when I talk about this around the nation, and I talk to a lot of educators, I talk to a lot of employers, community leaders, chambers, economic development circles. And as I kind of build this connection between lifestyle and career, you'll get significantly further understanding what their lifestyle aspirations are. You notice that I said, no matter how grand, modest, or laid back their view of their lifestyle is. Well, when you look at that, we tend to talk to young people in America as if everybody has grand plans. Everybody's going to succeed at the highest level. Everybody's going to try to get to the best and be the best and do all this kind of stuff. Most of Gen Z actually wants modest and laid back lifestyles. And when you recognize that, the game completely shifts. Because now to build relevance to that career journey, where can they go? How can they get there? It's all about building the lifestyle associated with it. Flexibility comes in, hybrid work environments, being able to create a human connection with them that allows them to perform at their highest, that they're willing to perform to achieve the lifestyle goals and aspirations that they have. And it's different for all of them.
Let's say that I'm hiring and I have a Gen Z person in front of me, what is the best course of questions to conduct that interview?
I would start with what do you love to do and what do you do well? Start with lifestyle-oriented questions that allow them to talk about the things they love and what do they love to do. Out of that can come a myriad of additional follow-up questions. You can drill down a long way off those starter questions. Because if you get them talking about those things that they love to do and what do they do well, you can start branching off and seeing where there may be a connection in hiring. It may not be the position that they're hiring for. It may uncover something completely different. But there you'll see how far you can push them, what they'd be willing to do, and where you can go from there. Generation Z, as a resting pulse, has to have a human connection. There's three questions in the back of every Gen Z's mind. And frankly, Jay, you and I have them as well, right? They may be subconscious, but we recognize them all the time. And the answer to the three questions has to be yes, or you've lost them and you may never get them back again. And that's in our homes, classrooms, or place of business. The three questions are simply, do you see me? Do you hear me? Do I matter? Do you see me? Do you hear me? Do I matter? If the answer to one of those questions is no, you've lost them. You may never get them back. That's part of building a relationship through the conduit of that human connection that answers yes to those questions. You now put yourself in a position to retain an employee, but then also be able to have the substantive career and lifestyle conversations that allow you to unleash their passion, purpose, and performance. In lack of that, and the pandemic has hurt a lot of that in our educational system and in our employment systems, people do not feel valued. They do not feel seen. They do not feel heard. They do not feel like they matter, in which case the revolving door spins faster and faster as people are coming in and going out, and they're looking for organizations that really care and want to build that relationship. The other thing that Generation Z is really looking for, as well as Gen Y and millennials, is ongoing learning and development in organizations. So they're looking for organizations that have a robust learning and development L&D program that allows for ongoing training and ongoing skill development. We say, many times as older generations, we want young people to be lifelong learners, right? I hear that in education all the time. Like, we'd really love it if kids were lifelong learners. They are. I think as a resting pulse, they are lifelong learners for relevant, purposeful education and training. If they view it as irrelevant, they don't understand what it is. They don't understand how they're going to leverage it. They don't understand how it's going to help them build their own personal competitive advantage. Then it's irrelevant. It's not purposeful, and they'll avoid it at all costs. For relevant, purposeful education that connects to what they're trying to accomplish in their life, they're all in on lots of it. In fact, they're leaving companies to go find other companies that are doing more of that.
Corporations and educational institutions, my guess would be at the top is the baby boom generation. They're the leadership. Where's the disconnect? How do we make the connection for the leadership of these organizations to really connect with what you feel is the most important generation, a generation with so much potential?
It comes to down to, simple education and simple understanding and a shift in the paradigm that recognizes that the world's completely changed. We're in a completely different set of circumstances today than we were a year ago, not to mention five or more years ago. So I think, visionary leadership today at any generation, but in your instance, from the baby boom perspective, is recognizing that your employees today think differently than they did just a year or two ago. They're thinking differently. And it's continuing to morph. AI, generative AI, is going to continue to have an impact on that as well. So recognizing that you've got to meet your Gen Zs, your Gen Y millennials, and your Gen Xers where they are, and then move them in a direction to do something truly outstanding and transformative within your organization. And you've got to pull them together, because here's the stat that's kind of a little mind-blowing when I speak around the nation, is that 75% of the American workforce at all, from C-suite down, by 2030 is going to be Gen Z and Gen Y millennials. 75%. And when you wrap your head around that, if you do not take the time today to understand what young people think, what makes them tick, and how they make decisions, you are going off into the great unknown, because the organizations that do understand and recognize the importance of building a human connection, do you see me, do you hear me, do I matter, how that connects to your policies, how that connects through your management from C-suite down, and that is going to be what leverages retention moving forward, because people talk about attracting talent and where do I go and how do I find more people at the top of our funnel. Forget the people at the top of the funnel for a minute. If you can't keep the people you bring in, it's almost irrelevant who you're finding at the top of the funnel. So recognizing that retention has to come first, and how do you retain top talent? And then you can talk about, all right, how do we drop more people into the top of the funnel? And how do we get them to come out, that right employee into the right position for all the right reasons? Everybody's looking for that. It's competitive as can be out there. But learning and development is a key part of that, being able to attract that person. A key part is advancement and being able to show, what's possible, where can they go, how can they get there, and being able to lay out, these are the kinds of things that you can do in our organization. And that has to be at all levels of education and experience. So there isn't one way to get every place. There are many times multiple ways, but letting people know what those options and opportunities are. But a mind-blowing statistic I just wrote about at Forbes is that 34% of young people today do not want to be managers. 39% don't even want promotions. They want to do something they like to do, and they're fine with that. Recognizing how that stat's going to change the game is that less and less young people want to advance in an organization beyond where they're comfortable. They want to be comfortable. Now, that might be different, Jay, than you and I have lived our life. We've done things. We've been uncomfortable. We've reached outside ourselves. And there's lots of young people that want to do that, too. But more and more young people are just looking to find this sweet spot. And then they're fine in the sweet spot, whatever that sweet spot is to them.
I would imagine that the most important thing is not to treat a generation en masse. You still have to listen and find out the individuality of each person.
Yes, it's not cookie cutter. It can't be cookie. And I don't think that was ever true that it could be cookie cutter. Maybe there was a time, you know, back in the Industrial Revolution days, you know, where it was a little more cookie cutter. I don't think it's that way anymore. I'm out in a lot of rural communities, a lot of metro communities. The similarities are vast. The differences are also vast. You know, our rural communities are struggling significantly around the country because they cannot find top talent. Retention has to be supersized significantly. Everywhere I go, and keeping people within a community is also a challenge. Being able to paint a picture that, yeah, you can go do all these things at all different levels of education experience, but you can do them right here in our local economy, right? You can do it right here, because that's what it's going to take in economic development to try to bring those economic development opportunities to town, either from overseas or from other places around the country. But being able to bring opportunity to a community is so directly tied to workforce development and the ability to give our employers what they need.
What's the best way to communicate those opportunities within a region or in a community? You said there's oftentimes a lack of awareness of what's really available in a region or a community. What's the best way to reach out and engage?
There are lots of ways, but I think we have to break down all the silos first and foremost. And as much as we think we're great communicators and how much we think that we're really kind of connecting the dots and we're bringing people together, a lot of people still view everything as silo oriented, right? Economic development, they're in their own little silo, right? They're trying to be the great conveners and the great pulling people together. But at the end of the day, education seems very siloed. Employers seem very siloed. Everybody is kind of worrying about their own thing. And the power to community today is going to be, how do you truly bring people together? And how do you get them to the same common ground? You've got to get them to the same rally point so that education and employers and community leaders and our economic development and chambers of commerce and our community and technical college system and our university system are all saying, yeah, we got to get to this same point, and you got to get them to buy into it. And I'll give you an example. Yeah. I was in Stuttgart, Arkansas a couple of weeks ago, brought in by the economic development folks, Stuttgart Unlimited, and I was brought in by the community college system. And they brought me in, and I spent an entire Monday in the morning. I did a 2-hour presentation to all of their educational leadership in the region. And in the afternoon, I did another 2 hours, but it was to economic development chamber, employers, community leaders, et cetera. The next morning, we then got everybody together. We facilitated a discussion of, first, what are the reflective moments people had from the presentations that I gave and how we connect education to employment, economic development, everything, because that's what I spoke about the day before. But the conversation was then, what are the next steps that we want to do as a community? And we had about 25 folks, and they were from the major employers in town. They were from community leaders. They were from economic development, right? And superintendent of the community, of the school system. And we had a very candid and frank conversation about where we're going to go. And one of the first steps we're going to make and that they decided to do as a community is, I'm going back there on September 3rd, 4th, and 5th. And they're literally going to park me in a 1,200-seat performing arts center. And first day, I'm going to spend the entire day with all the educators in the region. In the evening, they're inviting parents from the entire region. The next morning, I'm going to spend 90 minutes with all the middle school kids. I'm going to do 90 minutes in the afternoon with all the high school kids. And then we're going to open it up to all of the employers to send all their HR folks, all their foremen, all, you know, right? And so their goal was, how do we speak about this entire breadth of what, you know, where we need to get to this common ground, but get the entire community to go there? So I'm excited about that because the community is putting that together and saying, all right, we need to get people to think the same way, shifting the paradigm. And how do we get them to the same rally point so that we're all trying to get to the same place? And that same place has to lead within our community at all levels of education experience. Because at the end of the day, you know, you've got to have somebody, whether it's somebody internally or whether it's somebody externally, who has to come in and be very, very clear. Look, the world's changed. And my goal in every presentation is to shift the paradigm. How do I get people to think differently about where we really are? Because we keep making the same mistakes because we think young people are somewhere different than they are. And the truth is that they're really, you know, significantly departed from where previous generations have been. And unless we pivot accordingly, so the message has to be at some point, someone's got to deliver, look, we're in a completely different set of circumstances today. We cannot think like we did yesterday. For education, that's a tough road, but they're listening and they're moving accordingly, which is I'm incredibly encouraged with our educational system. It still moves slow. Education has always moved slow, but it is in fact movable. I've worked with the community and technical college system in the state of Arkansas and laid out and worked with them in full day seminars with chancellors and leadership in their 22 community and technical college systems. And just so that they understand where the world has changed, they're doing extraordinary work at the tactical level. I mean, they are doing great work in the state of Arkansas, but enrollments are still down because they're not recognizing that young people today value education significantly less than previous generations. 2/3 of high school kids today say they don't need a college education. That's an extraordinary statistic. We're in the third year of 3 historic years of less enrollments in universities and colleges around America.
We have a conversation that I think we could do for hours, and we can't do that due to the limitations of a podcast. But one final question, how do you envision the future of work evolving, particularly in relation to these generational dynamics and the technology's impact? You referenced AI.
I think the future of work and education is going to be that they're going to have to meld significantly closer together. We're going to have to break down all the silos, and it's going to be, I think, more community focused moving forward, because I think what's going to come out of this is that, you know, for things to be run from the federal government or state governments anymore, we need to recognize that local control is going to be significantly more important, because the only way to connect the dots between education and employment is going to be understanding what's going on at the local community level or regional level, so that you are connecting the dots between all of these things that need to be connected, which right now are not connected nearly enough. I mean, there's pockets of greatness around the country, but none of it's systemic yet. And that's where we have to push things in order to truly close the skills gap, which I don't even believe we have a skills gap in America, right? Which is the difference between what employers need and what employers have access to. I think we have an awareness gap in America. There's so many ways to be successful in America today. And young people today, their parents and our communities just have no idea what they are. And that's through all levels of education experience. And I think we have to completely change the dialogue and the narrative we use every day, starting in our school systems and then connecting through our employment systems, so that these things are now pulling in the same direction. And right now they're not systemically in America, but I see that as that's the future of work. And that's the only way we're going to be competitive around the world.
How does someone best get in contact with you, Mark?
Best way to get in contact with me is just via my website. You can go to markcperna.com. C is my middle initial. So it's MarkCPerna, P as in Peter, Erna. Just reach out to me there at markcperna.com. There's all kinds of videos. There's all kinds of information about me and my journey, where I'm going and how we're trying to connect the dots between education and workforce development across the nation. Employment with passion starts with education with purpose. And that's the movement that I started a while back.
Thank you, Mark C. Perna, for your insights. For more information about Convergent and how we can assist with your fundraising efforts, navigate to convergentnonprofit.com. I'm Jay Wirth. Thanks for listening and for making a difference in your corner of the world.